I'm going to speak to you this morning. If you have your Bibles here, let me give you some passages of Scripture. And I'm going to be speaking to you on the subject of the meaning of justification. What it means to be justified. I just felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning. And we're going to be sharing some passages of Scripture from Romans chapter 5. And Romans chapter 3, and probably a couple of other places as the Lord leads. But I'm going to read these two passages, well, maybe three passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you may want to write that down. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, this is our text, and this is the Scripture we're going to be beginning with this morning. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time or at the proper time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, I want you to get this one. But God commended, demonstrated, showed his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, we were still in our sins, Christ died for us. That means we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But much more than, verse 9, being now justified by his blood. It was interesting. I hadn't told Mary of anything about singing about the blood this morning, and just several songs, you know, two or three more about that. We shall be saved from wrath. That's the way God works. Amen. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That means we don't have to worry about wrath. The wrath of God coming upon us because of our sins or because of our disobedience. We're justified, we're just as if I'd, and that word justified means just as if I'd. Just as if I had never sinned. That's what his blood has done for us. Amen. Just as if we had never sinned. We're also being much more. Blessedly, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death of his Son, by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, how many of you are reconciled? We shall be saved by his life. So his resurrected life works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation, Philippians 4, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I can work out what he's working in. In other words, what we have through the blood of Christ and through the salvation and justification of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is working with us. He doesn't expect us to do it by ourselves. We cooperate with him, and he works in us. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? That's how we're saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through Jesus Christ. How many of you joy over your salvation and your relationship with the Lord, by whom we have now? Everybody say now. It doesn't mean our salvation's coming later on. Now, we're going to experience the resurrection of our bodies, and that's an aspect of our salvation. But we're experiencing the joy of the Lord and our justification and our peace with God. As it says up there, we have peace with God in Romans 5, 1, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have that now. Amen? We should be enjoying that now. We receive that now through the anointment. And that anointment is by God, by His anointing of the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, as by one man's sin, that's Adam, was by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now I want to read a couple other passages of Scripture, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And I want to tell you the reason I'm reading this is so, you know, oftentimes there's a lot of people think that because they've kept the Ten Commandments or because they're trying to keep the Ten Commandments or live the Ten Commandments, that's how they're saved. And I want you to know in many, many places, and this is just one, what the Word of God has to say about that. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, in this case, we're going to say therefore. What is it there for? It's there for, because if we read the other passages of Scripture, we recognize that but God commended His love, for example, for God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't because we were keeping the law. It was because we had failed to keep the law. So therefore, Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, that is by keeping the law and the Ten Commandments, there shall no flesh be justified. We can't be justified by the deeds of the law. The Romans chapter 5, verse 1 that we just read says, therefore being justified by faith. It doesn't say by religion. It doesn't say by church. It doesn't say by keep the deeds of the law. It doesn't say by keeping the Ten Commandments. It says we're justified by faith. Amen? But now, verse 21, Romans 3, verse 21, but now, everybody say now, the righteousness of God, everybody notice this, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God. Do you realize that when we're saved and we've been born again, God puts the righteousness, His righteousness upon us, and our so-called righteousness that we didn't have anyway, we thought we might have had under the law or by doing good things, that's done away, and God puts His righteousness, the righteousness of God, and that is the righteousness of God, notice, without the law. Doesn't have anything to do with the law. I'll show you here in just a minute. And I'm emphasizing this because I feel like the Holy Spirit told me to. The righteousness of God, which is by faith, verse 22. The righteousness of God, verse 21, without the law is manifested. It's been revealed. It's been made known. That's what manifested means. Being, and it was actually witnessed by the law and the prophets. And how did that work? If you go back to the Old Testament, God gave them the commandments, told them to keep them. If you don't keep them, He made provisions. Amen? So the righteousness that they had was also the same righteousness that we have, because it was they couldn't keep the commandment, they couldn't keep the commandments. And so in the law that He gave to the nation of Israel and in the Old Testament, He made provisions for them to do something when they broke the law. If they told a lie, if they took God's name in vain, if they committed adultery, if blasphemed God, if whatever, if they stole something, if whatever was, whatever how they broke the law, what did God do? He made a provision, and the provision was, in most cases, you go offer the blood of a lamb or the blood of a goat. Amen? And when He brought them out of Egypt, He said, I want you to go through it and through your household, and I want you to go and take the blood of a lamb, and I want you to do this. I want you to put it on the I want you to you keep the lamb for 3 or 4 days in your homes, and then at the end of that 3 or 4 days, you slit the lamb's throat, put the blood in a pan, and I want you to take some hyssop on a stick, and I want you to splat the blood over the top of the door and on the left side of the door, on the right side of the door, and what you have there is actually a cross. The cross of Christ goes all the way back through the Old Testament. Old Testament, New Testament, we're all saved. From Adam to end of time, everybody is saved because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He bore our sins, not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world in His body on the cross, so that we, you and I, might be justified just as if we'd never sinned. We might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful salvation. And that's who you are. That's not what you're trying to be. That's if you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have done that, that's who we are. I forget which verse I'm on, so I'm just going to go back to Romans 3:20. The righteousness of God, which is by faith, it's without the law. Verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe. For there is no difference. There's no difference. For all have sinned, verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified, that is, just as if I'd never sinned. How are we justified? This one verse is very simple. Freely. Everybody say freely. By His grace. It's by God's grace, because He loved us. Through, and how do we receive God's grace? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the redemption that He earned for us on the cross of Calvary. Whom God, verse 25 of Romans 3, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. He's our propitiation. He's the go-between. He's the one that brings us together, us and God. And to declare his righteousness, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He had to come and live a perfect life without sin, never sinned, didn't deserve to die because of His sin. He took our sins. He died in our place. And so we declare, verse 25, God is set forth to be propitiation through faith in His blood. When we have faith in the blood of Christ and what He's done for us, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, not our righteousness. James says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. And then a couple of other places. That He might be just, that God might be just, and not only that He might be just, but that He is the justifier. He's the justifier. We're not justifiers. He justifies us. He's the justifier. Of Him, of all of those, of Him which believe in Jesus. He is the justifier of all of those who believe in or put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like to illustrate this over and over again because I want people to understand completely that when the Bible says believe, it says trust. And trust means we rest our salvation. We rest our righteousness. We rest everything that we have from God fully and completely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can rest fully and completely in that. I'm not concerned that this is going to fall down. It's going to hold me up. And I know that Jesus is not going to fall down. He's going to hold me up because He lives forevermore. And the Bible tells us that He is at the right hand of God making intercessions for us who believe. Amen? And so when we sin, the Bible says in 1 John 1, verse 9, confess your fault. If we confess our sins, He's talking to Christians here. Amen? Because that doesn't mean we don't go sin. Sometimes we have pride. Sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do as Christians. Amen? Sometimes we hate other people. I don't need to name everything. But when if we sin, He says in verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's faithful. Aren't you glad I am so glad God's faithful. He's never give up on me. He's never let go of me. He still has my life. And I've done some bad things in my life since I've been a Christian. But God is faithful. And when I confess my sins, amen, He is faithful and He's just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, how can He do that? Through the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, His precious Son. It cost Him everything. It didn't cost you anything except just to put your trust in Him and believe in Him. Isn't that wonderful? Amen? And so if we just come to Him and say, Lord, I've sinned. I'm lost. If I died right now, I'd go, this is if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If I died right now, I'd go to hell. And I know I deserve to go there because I'm a sinner and I've sinned. Please forgive me. And I ask Jesus to come into my life and I put my trust in Him. Brother, right then and there, God performs a miracle. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. You can read about this in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3. And the Lord told him, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. We can't birth ourselves. Listen, could you birth yourself into this world? Did you bring yourself into this world? No. You can't bring yourself into the kingdom of God either. Only God can birth you into His kingdom. And He's willing to do that. In fact, the Bible says, and while we were yet sinners, while you were still in your sins, not that He saw anything good in you. He saw that you needed a Savior, so He sent His Son to be your Savior, our Savior. Amen? Praise God. Well, that's justification. That's being justified. That's being justified, never sinned. As one of God's children, you're just as if you'd never sinned in the presence of God. That's what justified means, just as if I'd never sinned. So He declared, verse 26, Romans 3, He declared, I say at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which puts or believes in Jesus. Now I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 9. Because I felt like I needed to put this scripture down. Know you not, that is those of us who are Christians. He's writing to Christians. Know you not that the unrighteous, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So I want you to know, if you are righteous, if you receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've received His righteousness and put our trust in Him as our Lord and Savior, we're no longer unrighteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And therefore, we have all the blessings and the fullness of the blessings of God. Unrighteously, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot receive any of the benefits. Now, when are we in the kingdom of God? And I just want to say this. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, that's the only way we get into the kingdom of God. You have to be born again by the Spirit. So when you come to God and when we come to God as lost and dead and trespasses and sins and say, God, please save me. I believe Jesus took my sins. I believe He died for me. Please save me. And He does that, brother. Right then, we're in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, we're waiting for the visible, the visual representation when God sets up His kingdom on this earth, when Jesus Christ, we're going to see that too. Amen? And I think it's not too long. According to all of the signs, and I'm not going to preach, I could preach, I used to love to preach on the second coming of Christ and what's going to happen when He comes and all of that, so I could preach a long time of sermons on those. I'm not going to do that, but let me just tell you, from everything that I've read and everything that I read in the Scriptures, and I've heard from other men of God that I believe are Spirit-filled ministers, they're ministering on television, they're ministering on the radio, they're ministering in churches all over the world. Now, things that I've heard from them and the things that we've all read, I believe we are in the very last of the last days. Amen. So, don't think, you know, be ready. Isn't that what Jesus said? Be ready, for in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man's coming. Amen? And just when you think He's not coming, that's when He's probably going to come. Amen? And it may be, and He talks about this, Jesus talks about the second coming. He said two are going to be in the bed, two are going to be working in the field, two. He showed right there that there's daylight. You know, that's even before people knew that there was, the earth was turning, there was daylight and dark all over the world. They didn't even realize the world was round. Many of them thought it was flat. In fact, I heard when I was a kid, at least if my teacher in school was teaching correct, told me and us, that's the first time I ever heard this, that when Columbus, it was Columbus that discovered America, right? Well, okay. It's been a long time, you know. I'm not as young as I used to be. Said when he took off to come sailing to America, he didn't know where he was going. And they figured if you went out too far, he was going to fall over the edge and be gone forever. They didn't realize the earth was round. They thought it was flat. We've learned a lot of things, right? Where we have been here a while. Okay. Know you not that the unrighteous, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Were you any of those things before you were saved? I was. Did that shock you? That's why I needed a Savior. That's why God saved me. Look at the verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And such were some of you, but He wants you to know now that you've put your faith and trust in Christ. Now that you're justified by faith and you have peace with God, according to Romans 5:1, you are washed. Amen? You're washed. You've been washed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Not only that, but you are sanctified. That means, sanctified means you've been saved, and now you have been born into God's kingdom, and you're one of God's children, and you've been set apart for God. That's what sanctification means. You're now set apart for God. You're God's property. Amen? And one of the things that He wants us to recognize is His ownership. That's the reason why, in order to come into His presence and to become one of His children and to be born again, we have to confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And it doesn't just mean I say Jesus Christ is my Lord, as Jesus preached in His sermon. Don't just call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. You call me Lord and then begin to do the things that I say unto you. And he doesn't expect you to do those things because they're difficult. As I've just alluded to earlier in this lesson, he says, I'm working in you to do these things. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling because I'm going to work. He doesn't expect you to do it on your own. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He gives us the power and the ability to do it. And so we trust him to do what he says he will do. Now, where am I? And such were some of you, but you are washed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, you're sanctified, but you are justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does he do that? How does God do that in our lives, in anybody's lives, a life who puts their trust in him? By the Spirit of our God. Amen? He does it. He washes us. He justifies us. He sanctifies us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Boy, I'm going to read another passage. I'm just sharing the scripture with you this morning. Amen. I always tell the Lord, you do what you want to do. Tell me what you want to talk about and then you take over because I... Amen. So I'm just letting him take it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Because all of this fits together. He gave me all these scriptures this morning. Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. Now, y'all may not need to hear this, and maybe we all need to hear it, but there's a lot of people out there over the internet because we're reaching out all over the world. I hear from Africa and India and people all over the world because of our broadcast, the Ingleside Church of the New Testament, churchofthenewtestament.org. We're reaching all over the world, this little place here. That's God's doings. That's why I'd like to see the place packed, and we have been packed. We've been packed so that people were standing outside of this building. We've been here for, I don't know, since 1978 or 79. That's a long time. We used to have a school. We had 45 students back there. We graduated seniors. We had three or four or five buses. We were picking up kids. When our church first started, we had 30 people and we had 120 kids. I'm not bragging on us. I'm bragging on God because that's what God does. Chapter 3, Galatians, verse 11. But that no man, so why I told you all of that because I'm not interested and I'm not moved and I'm all excited because there's a church full of people here. It doesn't make any difference. I'm preaching to people all over the world. Now, we need to have more people here. There's no question about that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, but that no man is justified, just as if I had. No man is justified. Now, this is the word of God, and this is what God is saying. No man is justified by the law, that is the Ten Commandments, the law given by God to the children of Israel, the law of Moses. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the Bible says, for... And he quotes the scripture, the just shall live by faith, not by the law. What did we say there in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, our text? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's saying the same thing wherever you read. Galatians, all through the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, it's saying the same thing. God didn't give the law. God didn't give the law for us to be saved in the sense that we're to keep it. He gave the law for us to be saved, and how does the law bring us to Christ? It shows us that we sin and come short of the glory of God. That's all the purpose of the law is. is to show us that we broke the law. Not for us to keep it. That's why he made provisions for them when he gave them the law in the first place. When they sinned and broke it, go sacrifice a lamb and spread its blood, because you're saying the law, you can't be saved under the law because you can't keep it all, you break it. So I'm going to give my son's lamb, the Lamb of God, my son, I'm giving you his blood so you can be saved. The law just shows you, you need to shed the blood. You need to take on the blood. You need to be saved by the blood. Amen? And when the law's done that, it has served its purpose. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 12, look at this. Now this is God speaking in his word. And the law is not of faith. Hey, are you listening? But the man that's going to try to live by the law and be justified by the law, he has to do them. The man that doeth them shall live in them. He lives in them. And that's when he discovers he can't keep them. We can't even get past the first one. Now, I don't want to make anybody a liar. I just want them to listen wherever they are. Wow. If man could have been justified by the law, then God would have not have made provisions to shed the blood. His son would not have had to come to die. Verse 12, but the law is not of faith. The man that does those things is going to be very suddenly mistaken, because he says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So if you're trying, listen, anybody that's listening to me in the sound of my voice, the Bible, God in his word is telling you that if you're trying to be saved and you're trying to be justified and sanctified and acceptable with God and find peace with God on the basis of your religion, keeping the law or whatever it is, then you're under the curse. God says you're under the curse. And you're being made a curse for us. The law's been made a curse of the law. It's been made a curse for us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Wherefore, verse 24, we're going to skip down to verse 24, Galatians 3, 24. Wherefore, the law, look, this is the purpose of the law. The Ten Commandments. For the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was a school teacher. How does it bring us to Christ? It teaches us that we're lost. It teaches we can't keep the law. We can't be accepted with God by keeping the law and the Ten Commandments. So it's our schoolmaster. So the reason is that we might be justified by faith, not by the law, but by faith, which is what we've been talking about. The meaning of justification is to be justified by faith. That we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after that faith is come, now listen, this is the word of God, after that we've exercised our faith and we've been saved and we've been born again by the Spirit of God and transferred out from the kingdom. Bible tells we've been transferred out from the kingdom and power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been transferred. When we've been born again by the Spirit of God, you were transferred out from the god of this world and for this world system, and you were transferred into the kingdom of God. And that's after the faith has come. You're no longer under a schoolmaster. You're no longer under the law. For For you are all, verse 26, Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Wow. Now, I know that there's all kinds of Christian religions, Christian denominations, many of them preach the cross, and you have to be saved by the cross. In fact, that's sometimes you go to church and you hear that over and over and over again. But not many times do you have anybody that will stand up and teach you about what faith means, what righteousness means, what justification means, who you are in Christ. We need to understand who we are in Christ. God expects you to live. If you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God expects you to live by the Holy Spirit, which birthed you. Now, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't misunderstand me, but you have to be birthed of the Holy Spirit into the kingdom of God, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can birth us into the kingdom of God. Amen? And then get filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not just a one-time thing where you speak in tongues. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. That means we listen to the Lord. We talk to the Lord. We listen to Him. We listen to what He says. We have a relationship with Him. And when we know who we are in Christ, we can develop that relationship with Him. I can talk to Him just like I can talk to you. Or one of my best friends here, Brother Jim, I can talk to him. I can go to his house, call him up on the phone. Sometimes he may not want to talk to me, but he talks to me anyway. Amen. I've never known him not want to talk to me. So you can talk to the Lord. You see, your body, listen. Since you've been born again, since we've been born again by the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 and several places, it tells us that your body is the habitation of God. Boy, God lives in you. You're born one of His children. You have His nature. You are now a partaker. Peter says we're partakers of the divine nature. Amen? Did y'all ever read that? That's what that means. Now you're a partaker of the divine nature. And your body is, 1 Corinthians, I think it's 6, says your body is a habitation of God through the Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. God dwells in you. So listen to me. If God dwells in you and our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, I can just talk to Him. Besides that, even if you're lost, the Bible says He is the creator of the whole world, and in Him we live and move and have our being. The psalmist said, where can I go from the presence of God? Where are you going to go? So if you can't call Him as Father and Savior and Lord, then just say, God, Lord, Father, whoever, I need you to come into my life. I need my body. I need to be born again by the Spirit of God. My temp body needs to be your temple. I want to be able to talk to you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to know, first of all, your love. That's the first thing we experience. Boy, God's forgiveness, God's love, God's acceptance. Boy, when I first walked down the aisle, lost, ungodly, filthy, dirty, I came down to an altar and knelt down right there and I said, God, save me. I want to tell you the first thing that happened to me was I felt His forgiveness. I felt His acceptance. I felt His love. And I've not been the same since. And thank God. And we're not ever. Amen. Let's everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your contributions to the church to make it possible, all of these things. And if anybody wants to come to the altar at this time, Mary's going to start playing a little bit on the piano, and this is going to be the invitation. It's not an invitation to join our church unless you want to. You can join the church if you want to. All you have to do is come and say, I want to join the church. I'm a Christian. You know, we'll accept you. Amen. If you've never been baptized, I ask you to get baptized, because you need to be baptized by water, because water baptism is the public declaration. But when you get baptized in the baptistry or in the water or in the bay or the river, I've baptized people all over the place. You get baptized, that's a testimony to people that are there to see you being baptized, that, hey, I'm crucified with Christ. My old man is dead. I've been buried by baptism. It's a picture of what's really happened to you spiritually. You've gone underwater, you come out, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. So anybody want to come to the altar? Come, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody want to come for prayer, and for any reason, you come. Father, we thank you for this message this morning, Lord, and we thank you for every precious person that's in this place and every precious person that's hearing our voice all over the wherever, Lord. We lift them all, Lord, before your throne of grace. They need you. To those of them that have accepted you and your so great salvation through in the blood of the Lamb, and they've been washed in the blood and been born again by the Spirit of God, we lift them before your throne of grace. Lord, strengthen them, encourage them. Help us all, Father, as your children, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, Father, those that are listening to us and they've had religion, they've got churchianity, and they belong to some kind of church, or they're trying to keep the law and they're trying to do the best they can to be saved, let them know that they're saved by faith. They're justified just as if they'd never sinned, by putting their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and calling on Him, because He did carry their sins in His body on the cross. And His death and burial and resurrection was for them so that they might be saved. And help them to call on you, Lord, and come to know you and experience the reality of your presence in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.